I also worry about not being able to be a good mother because I'm too tired. When I have these thoughts, I remind myself of all the things I've accomplished in spite of narcolepsy. I know being a mom won't be easy, but I'm confident I can do it. This is because I've learned ways to manage my symptoms. I have a medication that helps me sleep at night and another medicine that helps me stay up throughout the day. The medication doesn't solve everything, but along with maintaining certain lifestyle habits, they help me to live a normal life. For instance, sitting for long periods makes me tired, and movement always puts me in a better mood and boosts my energy. So I prioritize daily exercise over the years. I've learned to eat smaller portions and limit sugar, carbs, and fried foods to avoid sleepiness. 2 years ago, I became vegan to better my health, which definitely has helped a positive effect on my symptom. That's all the time we have for this article. That article was, What's It Really Like Living with Narcolepsy? By Alyssa Walker, as told to Emily Schiffer. That concludes today's reading from the November 2020 issue of Prevention Magazine. This has been Herbert Gilmore for the Georgia Radio Reading Service. Thank you for listening to GARS.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area.
It's 24 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-30s. Then, tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-40s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 30s.
From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil Sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Sunday, November 29th. This is the oil report. Energy and the economy. Federal Reserve banks examine energy and the overall economy. The story was written by Miller McEwen. Quote, as you know, we had a severe contraction in the second quarter of 2020, said Robert Kaplan, president and chief executive officer of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, as he opened a recent conference on energy and the economy held in partnership with the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City. That contraction was about 32% in the second quarter, he said, describing it as a very brief but severe contraction, with the economy bottoming out in April. That contraction resulted in what Kaplan called a demand shock for the oil and gas industry, with oil demand plunging as economies around the globe closed and people sheltered in place because of the pandemic. That was coupled with what he called a supply shock this spring, as Saudi Arabia decided to open its oil spigots after it couldn't reach a production cut extension with Russia. Though the two nations, along with members of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and other producing nations, including the U.S., agreed to significant production cuts, Kaplan said supplies will remain plentiful, dampening the oil economy. Quote, because of that glut of inventory created by Russia and Saudi Arabia's market share battle, our analysis at the Dallas Fed is it won't be until early 2022 before we work off that excess inventory globally, he said. Esther George, president and chief executive officer of the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City, said the economic impact of the energy industry was as apparent in her region as it is in the Dallas region, noting that the two regions combined account for about half the nation's oil production, she said, quote, we see firsthand how important energy is to the economy, including employment, end quote. Although the economy rebounded at 32% to 33% in the third quarter, Kaplan said growth is probably stalling, even decelerating amid the resurging COVID-19 pandemic and renewed economic restrictions. Amid the pandemic, Kaplan said people had learned and adapted their routines, giving a boost to mobility and economic engagement. But the renewed spread of the virus is causing mobility and engagement to deteriorate, slowing economic growth, he said. Quote, "We're watching carefully, but our view is the last part of the fourth quarter and certainly the first quarter of 2021 will be very challenging for the U.S., he said. The good news is, due to prospects for a vaccine in 2021, we'll see gross domestic product growth at or greater than 3.5%. The issue is that growth is going to back-end loaded into the second half of next year. Quote, "We'll still have to wear masks and social distance for most of 2021, Kaplan said. It will still be a good year for GDP growth. The trick is getting through the next 6 months. End quote. George said gasoline demand fell sharply as the pandemic strengthened and people started working from home. While mobility has increased with the lifting of stay-at-home orders, she said gasoline demand is still well below year-ago levels and unlikely to bounce back quickly. That's because she expects many workplaces to continue letting their employees work from home or at least offering the option of working from home several days a week. That could continue to keep gasoline demand lower at least several days a week," she said. "Getting through the next several months will apply to the nation's energy industry as well," Kaplan said. He noted that the nation's oil production, which began the year at about 12.8 million barrels a day, will end 2020 at 10.5 to 10.75 million barrels a day and stay flat through 2021. Quote, "What happened as a result of the pandemic will result in key changes, substantial job losses, bankruptcies, restructurings, significant consolidation," Kaplan said. "There will be a healthy oil and gas industry for years to come, but it will be more consolidated. Participants will have to have more scale and need to find ways to lower costs. Scale will be critical to that. Technology will be critical to that so operators can work in a lower price environment and adapt to a number of environmental restrictions like carbon sequestration," end quote. "While that is going on," he said, "there will be substantial growth and opportunities in renewable fuels like wind and solar and battery technology, which will create a substantial number of jobs and commercial opportunities." Quote, "There will be a significant and important need for fossil fuels, though it will be a smaller portion of the energy mix," Kaplan said. George agreed that the growth of renewables will be among the biggest shifts affecting the oil and gas industry, impacting employment, investment and output, and thus regional economies. She said developments in the energy sector spill over into manufacturing, agriculture, government revenues, and consumer spending. "Monetary policymakers will have to keep a close eye on the energy sector," she said, "because direct and indirect spillovers affect the economic outlook." New challenges further alter energy landscape. The story was written by Miller McEwen. Just as the shale revolution altered the energy landscape, the looming energy transition and impact of the pandemic will further alter that landscape. Considering what that landscape will look like was the topic of a panel discussion at the recent Energy and the Economic Conference held virtually by the Federal Reserve Banks of Dallas and Kansas City. Quote, "It won't be a straight line," said Rick Moncrief, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of WPX Energy. Moncrief says there are several things at play, from pressure from investors for operators to start returning cash to supply and demand challenges. Quote, "We will slow down and focus on free cash flow," Moncrief said. we won't spend cash for the sake of growth, end quote. Oil demand is recovering from the impact of the pandemic, he said, adding that he's encouraged by that and by oil prices in the low $40 range. That is a sign of market confidence that there won't be a tremendous oversupply. Quote, I think as we get into 2021, the first half of the year won't be much different from where we are today, Moncrief said. The second half of the year, however, I see opportunity. I see supply and demand come back more into balance to the point we could see commodity prices help boost activity. I think 2022 and 2023 will be interesting years, end quote. The reality is the world demands 100 million barrels of oil every day, day in and day out, Moncrief said. Quote, we'll see growth. The U.S. is well positioned. We'll just be very disciplined and thoughtful about our spending, end quote. Moncrief sees a delicate balance with a number of large producing nations having to cut back production levels and a new administration taking power in the U.S. If the Biden administration lifts sanctions on Iran, that additional 2 million barrels of production a day could alter the balance, he said. Quote, how does Saudi Arabia respond? How does Russia respond? If they're holding back to support prices, will they open back up and pressure Iran? End quote. There is a lot of enthusiasm about a low-carbon future, said Paula Gold-Williams, President and Chief Executive Officer of CPS Energy. Her utility company hears from customers who want electricity provided by solar power or for every vehicle to be an electric vehicle tomorrow, she said. Quote, I talk to people about facts and finance, she said. As much as we want to give our customers what they think they want, it will be difficult to make a quick and easy transition, end quote. There are big decisions to be made by all industries in making the energy transition, she said. For Cindy Taylor, President and Chief Executive Officer of Oil States International, top of mind as she looks toward the future is the pace and rate of change in the energy mix, what technology needs to be adopted, and how to balance new technology with the old. Quote, I don't know that the broader public understands we don't have the clean technology that we need to have that rapid shift in energy consumption that's idealized and desired by environmentalists. I look at what the industry can do and what we want to do internally, which is become more efficient and cleaner and safer along our journey, end quote. Moncrief expects more consolidation in the energy industry. WPX is in the process of merging with Devon Energy, and he cited the recent agreements between ConocoPhillips and Contra Resources and between Pioneer Natural Resources and Parsley Energy. Quote, I think consolidation has to happen, and I think it will be well received, he said. Flaring Coalition looks at emerging technologies. The story was written by Mela McEwen. Tasked with addressing the state's flaring and emissions issues, the Texas Methane and Flaring Coalition is eyeing technology to help provide a solution. The coalition recently hosted a virtual technology showcase at which six companies highlighted emerging technologies. Quote, members of the TMFC are consistently looking at the technology space to focus on companies that can utilize varying innovations in areas like gas capture, vapor recovery, mobile gas processing, and leak detection, Ben Shepard, president of the Permian Basin Petroleum Association, a coalition member, told a reporter Telegram by email. Quote, our efforts to showcase these events, like a virtual trade show, allows TMFC members to listen, learn, and ask questions of the technology leaders and determine if and how these can provide greater environmental and economic benefits to their operations, end quote. Billings, Montana-based GTUIT has brought its mobile technology from the Bakken to Texas, where its technology fits onto one 32-foot trailer, which holds a chiller-based mechanical refrigeration system that includes flow control, compression, refrigeration, and liquids handling controlled by a single automation controller. Quote, "We take what the big gas plants do and we miniaturized it and optimized the modularity and mobility to take it to the well site," Brian Siebel, president and CEO, said in a phone interview. Siebel said the key to successfully creating value from stranded gas that would otherwise be seen as a byproduct is to capture it as close to the wellhead as possible. In the Permian Basin, he said his trailers process gas at the well site and feed it into dual-fuel fracturing engines. He said that not all that gas comes from flares, some comes from gathering lines. Quote, "We look at what's available and see if there's enough to generate power to use or sell, enough to power a drilling rig or a fracturing plant," Siebel said. "A dual-fuel frack fleet is a home run from our perspective," end quote. He estimates that his company has captured more than 2 million barrels of natural gas liquids from stranded gas since it began operations in 2011. James Green, president and chief executive officer, Vaxium Energy Group, highlighted his company's automated secondary air control system. "This system can reduce fuel gas usage and emissions from combustions by as much as 50%, he said. "The system, according to Green, reduces carbon dioxide emissions in a proportion to the increased efficiency. Axiom's vapor recovery systems capture the vapors from storage tanks and sends them to sales lines. Each system is customized to each well operation," he said. "Reducing or eliminating flaring and emissions requires monitoring." Paul Munding, Vice President, Petroleum Engineering at Phlogistix, detailed his company's approach using certified vapor recovery. "This approach helps operators identify leaks in real time, as well as when to survey that site and estimate the quality of the leak. FLIR, forward-looking infrared camera technology, can confirm the leaks." Jeff Wilson, product manager for EcoVapor Recovery Systems, stressed the economic and environmental benefits of using vapor recovery units to capture and sell more gas, thus reducing emissions and increasing revenues. His company's focus is low-pressure gas and vapor management technology that captures all vapors from storage. Scalability was the emphasis of a presentation by James Meyer, principal at Aspen Engineering Services. He discussed how 8 years ago he realized how capturing liquids and reducing flares was important but expensive. The NGL Pro Flare gas capture system he developed is simple, portable, and affordable, and can be scaled up or down to meet an operator's needs. Using satellite data to detect and quantify emissions has been scaled up at GHGSAT. Quote, "Late last year, GHGSAT decided to expand our offerings," Phil Wilhelm, Director of Business Development, said. Quote, "One, to include the analytics we used every day. We now provide a subscription to that analytics, and that'll allow you to download all predictive data that we use to drive the satellite. As well, we took the sensor that was having so much success in orbit and we attached it to an aircraft purely as a technical test, and we got back some amazing results. and that went from an idea to fully commercially operational in about 4 months, end quote.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, November 29th, 2020. An Either-Or Situation by Dennis Elam, assistant professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. Bull markets are born on pessimism, grow on skepticism, mature on optimism, and die on euphoria. Sir John Templeton. The markets have defied gravity and made new highs this past week. Last week, we allowed that the markets were issuing a Dow theory buy signal as the transports and industrials both hit new highs. In Charles Dow's theory of 1896, this means one index confirmed the new high in the other. And there is more. The Small Capitalization Index, Russell 2000, and S&P Midcap made new highs. New highs in the smaller stocks are usually bullish, and the small cap indexes are rising faster than the larger industrial indexes. Hospitality stocks, including airlines, hotels, casinos, and cruise lines, have been battered this year. Even those are defiantly breaking out. Energy has lagged all groups, but is the best performer of November. Crude oil, West Texas Intermediate, broke out above my resistance line at $45 closing at $45.71 Wednesday. Energy ETF XLE has gapped up multiple times in November from $28 to $40. Even Left for Dead Energy Service XES has done the same, closing at $43.17. Bank stocks are all up on an expected better economy and higher interest rates. So there is nothing to worry about, right? Not so fast. The markets have shrugged off the Elliott Wave completion patterns, edging ever higher. But other measures suggest we are at that last gasp of enthusiasm, a la October 1987 or March 2000. The National Association of Active Investment Manager Exposure Index records weekly equity, records weekly equity allocation. It now stands at 0.6%. This means funds are borrowing to buy more equity. Witness the fear of missing out, FOMO. The last time we hit those highs just before the September peak this year, and in December 2017, before the January 2018 peak. Last week, we also noted the outsized valuation of Tesla. It is up 609% this year. At market tops, investors crowd into a handful of stocks, FANG, but Tesla is one for the record books. It rallied 50% in November, recording a price-earnings ratio of 247. The S&P PE ratio is about 21. Such extreme sentiment measures accompany market tops. We have been overly cautious this year, but these valuations are no time to ignore that advice. Enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday, and thanks for reading. Younger readers unfamiliar with investment guru John Templeton can watch his Wall Street Week interview in 1987 on YouTube and read about his success on Wikipedia. The Economist. Student Debt and Stimulus by M. Ray Perryman, head of the Perryman Group. Student debt has been a growing problem for years and needs to be thoughtfully addressed. Recently, there have been calls for some type of uniform debt relief as part of a stimulus package. That is not the best solution. Many graduates, or worse, people who did not complete a higher education program, have been saddled with crippling burdens. It's a bad situation, hampering the ability of those with large loans to get on with their financial lives. Whether buying necessities or big-ticket items such as houses, excessive balances and high monthly payments can cause budgetary stress. On the other hand, it may also be viewed as an investment in personal human capital for future rewards, not unlike borrowing to open a business. There are legitimate points of disagreement. Abuses occurred in the student loan system, and some individuals did not have full and accurate information when making decisions. There are also students and families who worked very hard and made tough choices to save for college that would receive no benefit. Similarly, others who fully paid off loans would not be accommodated on an equitable basis. Making education more affordable and accessible is critical to our future, but simple, across-the-board debt forgiveness is not the best policy. Something of this magnitude deserves careful consideration to achieve optimal results. It should promote upward mobility and a more productive future workforce. Whatever your thoughts on the student loan issue, the much-needed stimulus package is not the place for it. The purpose of a stimulus package is to stimulate now. For example, if $10,000 in loan forgiveness is implemented, one of the proposals, there will not be an immediate corresponding boost to the economy. Instead, the benefit would be limited to the amount of monthly payments. Moreover, because those with student loans on average are better educated, have higher incomes, and are more able to work remotely than the norm, they would more frequently save any modest supplemental gains. In contrast, a grant to a family or business in desperate straits would be rapidly spent, circulate through the economy, and help to keep the basic structure together. There are currently millions of households facing eviction, foreclosure, and food insecurity, while thousands of small businesses have exhausted their resources as they struggle to survive. There are also major industries, such as airlines, which are barely hanging on, yet vital to our future recovery and quality of life. And state and local governments facing massive budget shortfalls as demand for services soars. Stimulus funds allocated in these directions would bring immediate and essential benefits. They would actually stimulate. Student debt needs substantial attention, but we need pandemic relief now. Be safe.
Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area.
It's 24 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-30s. Then, tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-40s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 30s.
From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, November 29th, 2020, Life and Times. COVID Fight Needs Personal Responsibility by Levi Stone, RN, MSN. While the rates of COVID-19 continue to rise across West Texas, it's drawn an intensely heightened sense of urgency in protecting ourselves and those around us. Wearing a mask, washing hands, and social distancing have become the new normal, both now and in the unforeseeable future. In an age of instant gratification and immediate results, we might question why there hasn't been a resolution to the COVID-19 pandemic by now. All too often, the expectations of a quick fix to our problems falls squarely on the shoulders of others and not ourselves. Patience, consideration, and personal responsibility seem to be forgotten traits that once held us to higher standards and in reverence in respecting others. This is evident as a whole in how poorly we are managing our own health. Even in abidance to all the prevention standards, you can still contract COVID-19. So aside from wearing that mask, washing your hands, and social distancing, you need to ask yourself, what am I doing to make myself stronger to fight COVID-19 should I get it? The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, points out adults of any age with certain conditions are at increased risk for severe illness caused from the COVID-19 virus. While some conditions are non-modifiable, there are scores of them, such as obesity, heart disease, and diabetes, that are. Like an athlete training well before the season starts, or a student studying and researching ahead of a test, the work they put in before